Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings. Welcome to the Voice of Olympus. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And tonight we're going to continue our countdown to Mythic Atlantis. We're waiting for some callers to come in so that we can expand our vista of the lost continent. And one of the things that we do locally is we have something called the Olympian Embassy. And the Olympian Embassy is Mount Olympus's outreach to the cosmic community. Now, what do I mean by cosmic community? Well, I'll tell you. The days of the week that we still use today are named after the Greco-Roman pantheon, and they represent the classical planets that the ancients knew about. Now, the word planet means wanderer. And the ancients, when they were observing the vault of heaven, noticed that some of the stars weren't fixed, but moved around, seemingly of their own free will. So they called these the Astra Planita, the wandering stars, and they thought that these were the bodies of the gods. So Monday is named after the moon. Tuesday is named after the Anglo-Saxon Tu, who in Greco-Roman mythology is, of course, Aries. Wednesday is after Wotan, who is Hermes. Thursday is after Thor, who is, of course, Jupiter. Friday is related to Freya, who's the goddess of love, or Aphrodite. Saturday is Cronos, or Saturn, as he was better known by the Romans. So this system of the days of the week represented a cycle of time that was tied to the sun, and each day contained a different lesson that would be observed by the ancients and integrated into their lives. And we still carry this tradition on today. In our explorations, we've encountered other groups, and these other groups, although they don't follow the exact same concept, they also take you beyond our Earth, beyond the vault of heaven, into the universe that extends the reaches of our imagination and further. So we have tonight joining us folks from the Unarius Academy of Science. And I'll say hello. Hello, Celeste, are you there? Celeste, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, great to be speaking with you.
Hello?
Hi, Tracy, is that you?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Great.
Hey, I was just telling the folks at home that our journeys into the cosmos spiritually begin, of course, with the teachings of the ancient Greeks, especially as expressed in their mythology, and that in our explorations beyond our own mythology. We've encountered other groups that have spiritually explored these same areas. And Unarius is one of those groups for which I have the deepest affection. And I'm greatly honored that you're both here.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, we're thrilled to be able to actually talk to you live after so much emailing.
I know. We have years of emailing and a few telephone conversations.
Yes.
Now, Unarius first entered my awareness back in the 1970s when I was trained to be a deep trance medium. And the Voice of Creation books were kind of like secret books for this group. And I only got glimpses of them and wasn't afforded the opportunity of reading more than a few paragraphs here and there. And it wasn't until much later that I was able to find the books and purchase them and start reading them. And for many years, that was the extent of my connection with Unarius. And I would say around 15 years or so ago, I finally contacted the organization, and I began reviewing books and giving out literature. And basically, I would tell folks that this is a benign and truly helpful group that seems extremely sincere in helping folks find their way. And
that's a great description.
Go ahead.
Oh, I said that's a great description.
Well, thank you.
We would certainly agree, because we were seekers, all attracted for different reasons at different times, and provided many answers and lots of help and healing and much happier, more positively integrated people than we were before we began our journey with Unarius.
And why don't you tell the folks at home what Unarius is all about? How would you define the Unarius Academy of Science?
It is a spiritual school. It is teaches you how to progress on this pathway of evolution, that we live more than one lifetime. We've lived thousands and thousands of lifetimes, and each of those lifetimes makes us who and what we are. We're all on this evolutionary pathway, and Unarius provides the tools to understand ourselves as energy beings, interdimensional beings, and we are provided the tools through books, videos, DVDs, audio books, to be able to learn to understand ourselves as energy beings and how we function, and be able to rectify the past life traumas, negations, things that are affecting us and keeping us from expressing creatively, from receiving that inspiration from a higher source, to change ourselves and make not only ourselves a better person, but in turn, all those around us are affected by that higher frequency when we're working on developing our higher self. And this is not done by ourselves. And it was founded in 1954 by two very advanced cosmic visionaries, Ernest and Ruth Norman, and we know them by their spiritual name, Uriel and Raphael.
Now, a lot of people on first encountering Unarius or hearing about Unarius indirectly believe Unarius to be a religion, and this is not so. Can you address that a little bit?
Yes, and it's hard for people to understand, because many people equate spirituality with religion. That's what they're familiar with. And Unarius is really unique because it's a joining of science and spirit. And spirit really is derived, I believe, from the Greek word meaning energy. And Unarius accompanies a whole understanding of life that goes beyond just this dimension into multiple higher dimensions, and study of energy in terms of interdimensional physics, so take third dimensional physics beyond. But basically, what we're being taught is not something that is just a code of ethics that you follow. It's scientific principles of energy that one has to make their own, not just to read about them in a book, but to activate those principles and use them in their life to see how they work. And in turn, you're developing, as Tracy mentioned, this hookup with your inner or your higher self, and that's where you receive your still small voice, all the answers that you're seeking for. We don't look outside to someone else to tell us what to do. Rather, they're so-called spiritual being or physical being, a leader, and we don't worship anyone. Some people think that we worship the founders. We have great respect for them because they're developed beings and had fantastic examples of how to live a more integrated, positive, selfless life. But that would defeat the whole purpose of why they came, because ultimately in our evolution, any one of us can develop into being a higher being. And we're all created as sparks of this infinite creative intelligence. So if you're part of creation, you wouldn't worship that creation, because then in turn, so to speak, you'd be worshiping yourself.
I greatly admire Ruth Norman, especially, or Uriel, as she's affectionately called, because she is, I guess, an avatar of creative self-expression. She was a very unique individual who was not afraid to demonstrate her uniqueness. And for someone like me, that is a phenomenal thing. So aside from the Unarius teachings, Uriel's example is something that's inspired me and fueled me my entire life.
She was amazing. And when you met her in person, which I didn't have the opportunity to meet Uriel in person as much as some of the older students have, but there was a presence and you knew you were around someone who was not like everyone else on this planet. She carried so much. She was in tune with her higher self, with all these other advanced beings, and just projected so much love and clarity into your consciousness that, oh my gosh, it was scary the first time, because I felt so much love, but I also felt like somebody just opened up my mind and the whole world could see every single thought I was thinking, and it was shocking. And that's what this cosmic generator that she is had the ability to do. And so many of these masters that have incarnated on our planet to help move humanity forward have this development, this hookup to the higher self that helps the soul by example or by pointing up that there's more for you to see within your consciousness that we're not really aware. And they serve as an example of someone who's learned how to do this.
And that's one of the other things I like about Unarius, and that Unarius shows you how to link up to your own higher self and not try to hook you onto a particular system that you wind up following forever and not going anyplace, which happens with some of the spiritualities I've explored.
Yeah, that's true.
I think most of us had done our own searching. We knew that there was more to life than just what we'd been taught, whether in school or brought up in a certain religion. And so we were excited, because that was the whole point with Unarius. We're not into proselytizing. So if you're open and ready for a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at life from this higher perspective of everything being energy and we being energy beings, then there's a whole world that opens up to you, that it's totally up to you to take information in and to apply it to oneself.
The topic
your progress,
of tonight's show, I'm
progress
sorry.
Is totally your progress is totally your own prerogative, and in whatever effort you put forth, you're going to see the results.
And the same is true if you exercised or worked on your memory, anything that you want to improve in yourself, you do need to put attention to it and energy and effort to bring it about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Now, the topic of tonight's show is Atlantis, the Unarian Revelations, and this is part of our Countdown to Mythic Atlantis series. Can you tell us a little bit about the Unarian teachings regarding Atlantis?
Well, in 1978, we started receiving through Uriel and her sub-channels information from the Greek historian Herodotus, who in his higher self is living on the spiritual plane of Eros, the scientific plane. And he started giving the basis for Atlantis being a real civilization, not just a myth, and how it was only lost in terms of consciousness, that we didn't have a conscious awareness of it, but it lies within everyone on this planet, psychic memories, and therefore it's influencing us now in the present. And so it's a fantastic saga that came forth in several volumes about how Atlantis started and its rise, ascendancy to this most beautiful, advanced civilization, both spiritually, technologically, consciousness-wise, and then the descendancy of Atlantis and the incarnation of Uriel and other advanced beings and space brothers that contacted Atlantis from other planets that were more developed, that all contributed to the birth of Atlantis, the tremendous growth of it. And then, of course, it reaches a point where the denizens of the civilization had to use their own, there we go again, inner development or hookup to continue on in their learning and the progressiveness of the civilization. And they weren't able to be successful in doing that. And essentially, that's why the civilization fell.
And this is a history on our planet. This is not the only civilization that rose tremendous spiritual, joining of science and spirit ability. It happened on planet Earth with Lemuria previous to that, with you. That is the history that we have. The karma that we have on this planet is these spiritual beings have come to help advance us. We take the lessons in and learn it and live with it, and then we don't really learn it completely enough to apply it to ourselves, and we start to relive our negative past. So Atlantis was the most spiritual civilization that we had on planet Earth's history.
In the Unarian teachings, Uriel guided the evolution of Atlantis. In fact, she founded Atlantis as Poseid, and then spent over 20 incarnations coming and guiding the destiny of Atlantis in its earliest days. Can you tell us a little bit about Poseid?
Well, Poseid became the ruler of what was a very primitive society at that time, at the beginning of Atlantis, about 40,000 years ago, when his father passed. And I think he was about 18 or so, and he was contacted by beings that had come from another planet. And, of course, Poseid, overshadowed by the higher consciousness of Uriel, had set up this incarnation because it was at a time that there was a great need in a physical form for spiritual beings to have direct contact with the citizens of Atlantis, or the peoples who had evolved. Because Lemuria, the civilization of Lemuria, 70,000 years BC, had been destroyed essentially by atomic forces, which not only caused great destruction, but for those people who survived, some were able to stay in shelters underground in temples and not be affected by radiation, but they lost the way of the more developed Lemurian science and the spirituality, and so the civilization was in a more primitive state. And then there were those beings that were exposed to the radiation and were mutants, as you can imagine, both physically and mentally, and were actually quite violent. So there was this fear of being attacked by these mutants and misunderstanding of them, and in return wanting to kill them. And Poseid was actually taken into the spacecraft by this lighted being, and through their very advanced electronic crystalline devices, he was reawakened and connected with his higher self, and he then had the inner knowing, the psychic mental ability to begin to understand his role on the plan. And there were actually time capsules buried by the Lemurians that they began to uncover that had advanced electronic devices. So working with these space beings and working with his people, they were able to develop fairly quickly an advanced society that became Atlantis. And also, I didn't mention that these so-called mutants, through the healing devices, they were able to project healing energies so that they were no longer mutants in their mentality and could progress and more natural instead of regressive evolution. So that was a tremendous help to them as well.
For the folks at home, the Unarius cosmology is phenomenally vast. And
yes.
If you give it a chance and study it, it's internally consistent, which for a body of literature that huge, having come through many channels, is remarkable in and of itself. It's going to take us several shows just to explore Atlantis, but I urge those of you at home who want to open their minds to possibilities ranging millions of years and light years in space. Unarius has something for everyone and will certainly benefit your explorations. Now, Uriel, in addition to Poseidon, she had other incarnations in Atlantis as well, like Yoshana, Ensat, Helandra, and then finally Isis.
She also had incarnation as Alta. And these different incarnations, it was 25 in total, were all overshadowed by the higher self of Uriel. So Poseidon, I think, had four that are mentioned. And then, as you mentioned, the other names, Ensa and Heliandra, and then the final incarnation was Isis and Osiris, which Osiris is overshadowed by Archangel Raphael, who also overshadowed Ernest Norman, one of the co-founders of Unarius. So each of these lifetimes were in a different... In the history of Unarius, it talks about three, a beginning, a middle, and a latter phase of Atlantis. These beings incarnated each time to help set up the rise of the civilization, and then they would not incarnate for a while because they wanted all the people of Atlantis to learn how to continue to apply these principles and attune to their higher self and in turn attune to these brothers on the non-atomic plane to strengthen their higher self and their hookup. And then as the civilization would start to descend a little bit, they would incarnate back to remind them of what they had and how beautiful their civilization was and to realign them with this hookup to their higher self. So this was the history throughout Atlantis for the 30,000 years or so that it existed, that these beings came with different names at different times during the rise and the fall of the civilization of Atlantis.
Can you explain overshadowing a little bit?
Well, overshadowing, when someone is so developed in their consciousness that their energy body is such a high frequency, they can't actually incarnate exactly how we would through a physical body. Every person body is not just the physical body. We have a psychic body. Some people refer to it as a soul. It's a psychic anatomy. And actually, everything we've ever done or said is encoded in energy waveforms, sine waves within that energy body, and is the basis for what we look like, what happens in our life, etc. So these higher beings are not able to incarnate so much. It's almost like borrowing a physical body and projecting one's consciousness into it. And so they're able to make that strong hookup in the physical, maybe not, of course, 100% of the time, and a development over their lifetime that they lived while on the earth plane. To receive that great healing energy and information to share out with the world and with other people, and not necessarily just in a physical way, done mentally through a form of psychokinesis.
And that's a very interesting concept, and I found it very fruitful to meditate upon it and to view things from that perspective. It gives you a totally different view of reincarnation and what it's all about.
Well, and it makes you really appreciate that we have this potential to become like them, but we have a long way to go, so it's very humbling.
Indeed it is. It's very humbling indeed. Does time exist in the Unarius understanding the same way that it exists in our current understanding, or is time something different?
Well, in a third dimensional world, we have, which is what we live in right now, we have a beginning and an end, but there really is no such thing. And time is relative on third dimensional worlds to the rotation of each planet and its rotation around the sun. So it's all relative to where you are in your consciousness, but time really doesn't exist in its truest sense.
Plus, in the fourth dimension, time is integrated. It's not linear, where there's time and space. Everything is connected in that higher dimension. It's not stepped down in frequency, where it's vibrating or moving at a lower frequency, and so there's time and space. So then there's limitless possibilities about life in other higher dimensions as to what form it could take, because there are no limitations in that way.
One of the forms of healing that Unarius is famous for is the past life therapy, where folks relive incidents from the past lives and gain greater understanding and freedom. From negative patterns that are keeping them down. Does that tie into the fact that, you know, time is not what we think it is?
Yeah, most definitely, because as I mentioned earlier, in your psychic body, all of the information that you've encoded from previous lifetimes, what you've done, what you thought, what you said, still exists. And it's in vortexes of energy, so it's cyclical in nature. And at a certain cycle, it oscillates into your consciousness and affects you. So the wonderful thing about becoming more aware of one's thoughts and emotions, one's consciousness at a subconscious level that's constantly there and influencing us, the stream of consciousness, is that you realize that these other lifetimes can be in phase or in cycle and having an influence on you. And sometimes it could be very positive, and other times it may not be so, as manifested by what's going on in your life. Rather, you know, you're having difficulties in a certain situation at work or a relationship, or, you know, you've got some physical issue going on. And so, yes, essentially there is no time and space in terms of the psychic body and how it's influencing you in your present.
So people have a lot of responsibility for what they do and what they've done, and not only in this life, but in their entire sojourn through the physical planes.
Absolutely, and that's one of the hallmarks of Unarius that I love, is that there is no such thing as a victim. And the more honest we are with ourselves about who and what we are and the situation that we find ourselves in our lives, and take responsibility, the easier it is to change. And it's deflating at first, and it's humbling to realize some of the things that we've been involved in. But once you accept it and you open your consciousness up to receiving help from these higher advanced beings who are constantly projecting love to all souls on our planet and throughout the galaxy and the universe, that's when we're able to really make a change. And that energy is changed very scientifically with help from these higher beings, so that it's no longer an aberrated waveform that's in our psychic anatomy causing whatever it is, you know, unrest, anger, a cancer, and it changes those waveforms, and then you're free of that little bit of karmic burden that has been part of your psychic anatomy. And many times you go lifetime through lifetime through lifetime just regenerating, or as you said, reliving the same scenario with different people, or, you know, being a warrior or whatever it is that we haven't resolved and learned that it's not okay to be angry and rude and mean to other people. And once we come to that point in our awareness and want to change, we have tremendous help and the tools to do that.
The other thing, when Tracy mentioned that the waveforms are changed, actually they have, because energy can't be destroyed, they actually have a more positive bias, so that that same exact energy isn't going to affect you again because you've learned the lesson. And as such, that forms a part of your higher self. So you're actually rebuilding your psychic anatomy and you're building your higher self. And the end result of that is an actual change of something that was happening in your life, whether it's physical change in your attitude, which therefore affects change in relationship with people, change in a situation where a more positive thing happens, say that you couldn't find a job because of your past energy field that you were putting out, and now it's open doors and you found a job, although we're not about making money, but you have to have that to live in our world. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is when you have this conduit more strongly to your higher self, then you experience more joy to be, and you have a broader perspective of life. You can be more intuitive and clairvoyant, more creative, and so that's how you really truly see the benefits of past life therapy and how it really works by these wonderful positive changes that happen in individuals' lives.
Celeste, thank you. And on that note, we're going to go to break. The music in today's break is Fanga by Dragon Ritual Drummers. And then we'll be back to speak with Celeste and Tracy from the Unarius Academy of Science.
Tracy.
Ashe, 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 Ash The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha De Dey, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Greetings, this is Hercules Invictus. Welcome back to Voice of Olympus, our weekly radio show here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And I'm here with
Athena Victory,
my wonderful, wonderful wife, and our wonderful guests, Celeste Pell and Tracy Kennedy from the Unarius Academy of Science. I must say that you guys have given me a lot to think about in the past 15 years, and especially in the past half hour.
Well, hopefully we didn't share too much information to overwhelm people, but if people want to go to our website, www.unarius.org, there are a lot of resources there. We also have a YouTube channel at Unarius 33. And, of course, if they want to pursue it further, we have an online store where they can actually purchase books about Atlantis and also the CD or MP3 version of those books.
And there is a lot there. Be prepared to keep busy exploring for quite a while, and the exploration is well worth it. So what is next for Unarius? What is next for Celeste? What is next for Tracy?
Well, first and foremost, I'll always be a student of life. And so continue to study and continue to learn and continue to grow and work out more of my past. And as best as possible, learn how to be an example for people who are questing to share Unarius.
So it's wonderful to have this opportunity to share about Unarius because, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's just been so helpful in my life. I'm not the same person I was when I first contacted Unarius almost 30 years ago. I've received a lot of help, a lot of wonderful positive changes, help with relationships, work, family, physical problems, and we could go on with giving specific examples of that. Maybe that's for another show. I don't know. But with Unarius, we have had some exciting opportunities coming up. We are going to be going to an expo in San Mateo, California, the end of April 29th through May 1st, called the New Living Expo. We'll have a booth there and also talk on Tesla and free energy. And Tracy can talk about where she's going in June.
Where are you going in June, Tracy?
We're going to London to the Horse Hospital, which is independent film studio. And Kevin was invited to go as well as myself, but he'll be the main speaker to share about one of the films that you alluded to earlier, The Arrival, which is one of Unarius's probably most popular, well-known movie that was produced in the 1970s, and Kevin was involved in the filming and the set making. This was, gosh, almost 40 years ago. So it was shown at CineFamily, which is in West Hollywood, almost 2 years ago, and there were a lot of people in the audience who were big on film, knew about Unarius, film producers, some very famous, well-known people in the movie industry, as well as independent movie houses around the world in the United States. And a year later, we were invited to go to the San Francisco Film Festival and participate in that, and several students got to talk about their participation in the arrival. And this June in London, Kevin and I will be going, and we'll be there for a week. And in addition to the filming and the showing and the talking about the arrival, we'll also be giving a workshop on past life therapy. So this is exciting. I think it's the first time, one of the first times that students have been invited to speak outside of the country about Unarius. So it's quite a lot of fun things on the horizon we're very excited about.
That is incredibly awesome. I would like to thank you again for being guests on The Voice of Olympus. And once more, before you go, how can folks learn more about the Unarius Academy of Science?
You can go to our main website at www.unarius.org, and you'll also see links for a couple other websites there, our YouTube channel, Unarius 33. You'll see we live stream our classes on Sunday and Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30. We invite you to log in, and you can instant message with us during the class. And Tracy, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, the first Sunday of the month, and this Sunday, we typically have a special topic class Sunday night at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And this Sunday, the topic is Unarius for the 21st Century and Beyond. So it's a class that will provide a great overview about what Unarius is and then some. And the topics vary. They're always of topical interest of what's going on in the world or from a Unarius perspective. And it's a great way for anybody who's just wanting to learn more, just be open, that you can find out about what Unarius is and how it can help you.
It's actually 7 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. So I don't know if there'd be confusion with that.
Thank you very much, and give my regards to all the Unarians in sunny California, and I wish you joyous journeys and great success.
Thank you very much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was great to be speaking with the folks at Unarius. I seldom get the opportunity to speak with them directly, so this was a special treat for me. And Unarius will be represented at our Mythic Atlantis Convention, which is on Saturday, April 16th in Tenafly, New Jersey at the Elks Lodge. And we have a bit more coming up, and for that I'll turn the mic over to Athena.
This week's countdown to Mythic Atlantis at the Fairlawn, New Jersey Community Education for Adults, Wednesday evenings, The Mythic Tradition, 7 to 8 p.m., Ancient Mysteries, 8:15 to 9:15 p.m. Disclosure Network, New York, Atlantis, The Lost Continent, Sunday, April 3rd, 2016, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Sorry about that.
Okay, and at the Disclosure Network and at the Urantia Book Group, I met an individual who we'll be meeting a little bit tonight, and he will be a future guest where we can explore all the interesting things he does at greater length. But for now, let us welcome Mr. Nick Curto. Greetings, Nick.
Thank you very much, Hercules. Wonderful to be here, and thank you so much for your kind invitation.
Well, it's awesome to have you. You are into so many. You're such an interesting person, and you're into so many interesting things. Unfortunately, tonight's a brief intro, and we're going to focus on the Urantia book and also the Disclosure Network New York, and then we'll have you on, and we'll spend an entire program just exploring all the things you're into. So tell us about the Urantia book.
Urantia book is the most awesome book I have ever come across in my entire life, and it happened when I was going to All Souls Unitarian Church on East 80th Street and Lexington Avenue here in Manhattan. And I was going there for 2 years because they read, as you know, from all the great world religions and spiritual callings. So it was an amazing experience for 2 years to every Sunday to be taken to these various books and knowledge of what was going on. And I really welcome that. but there wasn't that very unique, special book or philosophy that really triggered me until after 2 years, one Sunday morning. They said, and for our last reading of Sunday, we're going to read from the Urantia book. And I thought, well, that I've never heard of that. Is Urantia maybe Eastern Indian? I had no idea. Well, the Reverend read a couple of paragraphs from this book. Hercules, I can honestly say that I couldn't almost breathe because it was my inner being was saying, this is the book that you always hoped that you would find, and you are hearing it. I mean, it was such an incredible experience. And when it was over, he told everyone that they may now go home to for lunch. And I literally had to stay in the pew for three more minutes because I really needed that time to unwind because I had heard something so unique. And I just was out of breath. And then I said to myself, boy, do I have to find out what that's about. So that's how I was introduced to the Urantia book through the Unitarian Church.
And now you run Urantia book meetings in New York City.
That's right. We have two study groups. One meets on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9, and the other one meets the first and the third Sunday, and that is from 12 to 2, and that's in Midtown on West 18th Street. There's a website where they could get all the details for that. And that website would be www.urantianewyork.org. So that's urantianewyork.org. And that will give both detailing of both groups.
And I have attended one of these meetings, and I can tell you that it was very, very interesting and opened my eyes to a whole new way of looking at our lives and the world that we live in. The DNNY is slightly different in tone. I would say a lot different in tone than the Urantian Book group. Can you tell us a little bit about Disclosure Network and the Disclosure Network in New York?
Absolutely. Disclosure Network was founded 15 years ago here in New York City when Dr. Stephen Greer was going to give his first lecture in New York City. I got very excited about that because I knew of his work, and I volunteered to be in the promo volunteer department because they needed help there, and I wanted to spread the word. Anyhow, he gave a dynamite lecture and filled a huge auditorium. It was quite successful. And when it was over, the volunteers for the PR group were saying goodbye, and me and a couple of other people said, we should be really planning the next thing. Why are we saying goodbye? And that was the very beginning of Disclosure Network New York, and we've been doing it ever since. We now have two programs a month, and that's the first and the third Sunday of each month, and that goes from 2 to 4 p.m. The website that gives you the next meetings is www.dnny.info, I-N-F-O. And there's a $10 admission fee for each of the programs. But also to note that the same first and third Sunday in the exact same room that the Disclosure Network is held from 2 to 4, from 12 to 2 is the study group of the Urantia Midtown New York City study group. And that is totally free to anyone who'd like to come. It's open to everyone, and that goes again from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. And then in the same room from 2 to 4 is Disclosure Network. A lot of people go to both groups.
And I will certainly do so. I'm speaking this Sunday, in fact, at the DNNY from 2 to 4 p.m. on Atlantis, the Lost Continent, as part of our countdown.
We are so excited. We are really, Hercules, we are so excited that you're coming back. You were there in September, and boy, you know, your lecture, you could have heard a pin drop. It was wonderful. Truly, I can say that for everyone in the room. And this other one you're going to do now, Atlantis, the Lost Continent, we are ready for your presentation. Believe me.
Thank you for your kind words. May I live up to your expectations?
I have no doubt in my mind about that. None.
Now, Nick, the Urantia book does not really have an Atlantean tradition, but a lot of people have equated their Garden of Eden teachings with Atlantis. Would you care to share your thoughts on that a little bit?
I think that you, when you're reading the Urantia book, you certainly can get a feeling of very, very different realms, different areas in our history of our planet. And boy, there's a lot there. There's so much there, and in such detail, people are just swept up it is an amazing book. And certainly, you can, when you're reading that, you can certainly read into that other possibilities of Atlantis. It doesn't say Atlantis. It doesn't say that name, because I did check that. But there's other things in there that are very detailed descriptions, and I think you will be absolutely glued. Now, I just sent you, Hercules, on your email, some of the quotes from the Urantia book dealing with Greece, and I think that you will find this awesome. I can't wait for you to read it.
I read it, actually, while we're waiting for the show to start, and it's going to form the basis of a lot of my questions on our next show together.
Yeah, it's going to be there's a lot there. It's a lot of detailed, a lot of interesting facts and figures. And I just wanted to say just also that the Urantia book is now translated. They've translated that, and they've actually made an English audio version that people can hear, especially people who their sight is failing or possibly that they would just prefer listening. And we also have translations now in Dutch, in English, UK, Estonian, Finnish, French, German, Hungarian, Italian, Korean, Lithuanian, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish, and Swiss.
Wow. Did you leave anybody out, or can everybody access the information now?
Oh, that also can be accessed. Anyone can do that by going to may I spell it out?
Sure.
Okay, it's Urantia, Urantia, then a little dash, book, book, .org, and then a forward slash, and then the word downloads, DOWNLOADS .htm. And then you'll discover all the things we said, that you can hear it, audio versions of it. You can get it in all the various languages. It's very, very exciting.
Nick, I want to thank you so very much for coming on so that we can meet you tonight. And in the very near future, we'll be devoting at least one show to Nick. I suspect two or three, because Nick certainly has a lot to say. I wish you well, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
What a pleasure, Hercules. Thank you again so much.
Okay. Joyous journeys and safe adventures.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, before we close, Athena has some announcements, and then I have some on behalf of CERN.
Okay. For more information on Hercules and Athena, visit our website, www.herculesinvictus.net. For contact and community, check us out on Facebook under Hercules Invictus, Mythic Atlantis, or The Voice of Olympus. Hercules and Athena are also available for Olympian workshops, mythic activities, epic special events, and appearances. And there's still time to register Paramus Community Education for Kids, Mondays, April 11th to May 16th, 2016, the Junior Superhero League of Paramus, 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., Mythic Adventure, The Time Wars, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m.
Thank you, a wonderful wife. On behalf of CERN, I make the following pronouncements. Robin and Terry Power will be continuing their series on the Fool's Journey Through the Major Arcana. Tomorrow, they discuss death, which is not as negative a card as most people believe. And on Thursday, Robin and Terry will be interviewing Celia Ferran, a singer who will be appearing at Caldera Fest, which Terry and Robin will also be making appearances. And they will be integrating Caldera Fest into the show. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. On our end, our next show is called Atlantis Rising. And we'll be focusing on the Star Center Atlantis, which is something we started here in New Jersey. Star Center Atlantis is taking the different cosmic teachings regarding the lost continent and curricularizing them. So we have a curriculum for Unarius and for Mark Age so far, and we'll be developing more in the near future. We're not telling people what the truth is about Atlantis or what to believe about Atlantis. These are different traditions that most people don't know about that have information about Atlantis, and we will be codifying those and sharing them. If you belong to a spiritual, religious, metaphysical, occult, or magical organization that honors Atlantis, or if you have a unique take on the Lost Continent, I'd love to interview you as well on the Voice of Olympus, and who knows, you might find a way of working together on the Mythic Atlantis adventure. Please email me at hercules.invictus@gmail.com. You can find my contact info on our website, www.herculesinvictus.net. Today's task for Mount Olympus is remember who you really are and what you truly stand for. And we will also be meeting in our next show, Mirror Living, who's one of the guardians of the Oliphant mystery, something we spent 5 years investigating in Pennsylvania. And it's an interesting phenomenon. If you look at it cursorily, it's easily dismissed. If you look at it over time, there are layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of weird coincidences and synchronicities that force you to keep looking at it. So we'll be visiting the Oliphant mystery, and the Oliphant mystery is tying into our time travel fear later in the year. So please stay tuned for that background info. I wish you all, on behalf of Voice of Olympus and Mount Olympus, a wonderful evening and a pleasant week. Athena, do you have anything to say to our audience?
Other than goodbye and hope to see you again next week.
An awesome thing. Take care, joyous journeys, and happy adventures, everyone. I wish you good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.